Romans chapter 12 and verses 20 to 21 is the text for our meditation. Romans chapter 12, 20 to 21. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good is the title of this adult Sunday class. Here the Bible tells us, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If thy enemy hunger, feed him. William MacDonald said well, Christianity goes beyond non-resistance to active benevolence. And you would realize that it is not natural. It is not natural. In fact, it is supernatural. How to feed an enemy? Right? An enemy is one who torments you. How could you feed him? Well, here God teaches us. The Christian mindset, the Christian ethos, the Christian way, the Christian life, the power of the Spirit of God's love. It does not destroy its enemies by violence, but converts them by love. It does not destroy its enemies by violence, but converts them by love. It feeds the enemy when he's hungry and satisfies his thirst. Our text tells us, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. If the live coal treatment seems cruel, it is because this idiomatic expression is not properly understood. To heap live coals on a person's head means to make him ashamed of his hostility. To make him ashamed of his hostility by surprising him with unconventional kindness. You remember when, in the time of the divided kingdom, the enemy soldiers were surrounding the city of God. And suddenly, God struck them with blindness. And the enemies were all led to the capital. And finally, their blindness was taken off them. And they found themselves surrounded by the soldiers of Israel. The question was asked, should they have killed all their enemies? Well, God said to them, no, feed them and let them live. Spare their life. Feed them and let them live. And the Bible tells us that the enemies did not come back again because they have understood the act of benevolence, the act of kindness that was given to them. Their lives were spared. They were grateful. They understood what God had done for them. The heart of the redeemed is so changed that he is able to return evil with good. This is the manifestation of God's grace in the believer's life. When we obey God's will and see His enabling love in our lives. Are we the loser to return evil with good? Certainly not. God in heaven sees all the sufferings that take place in the lives of His people. He will surely help them. So if you believe that God in heaven sees and knows what is going on in your life, then in your suffering, you are able to trust Him. 1 Corinthians 13 was paraphrased in this way. If I have the language perfectly and speak like a native and have not His love for them, I am nothing. If I have diplomas and degrees and know all the up-to-date methods and have not His touch of understanding love, I am nothing. If I am able to argue successfully against the religions of the people and make fools of them and have not His wooing note, I am nothing. If I have all faith and great ideals and magnificent plans and not His love that sweats and bleeds and weeps and prays and pleads, I am nothing. If I give my clothes and money to them and have not His love for them, I am nothing. If I surrender all prospects, leave home and friends, make the sacrifices of a missionary career, and turn sour and selfish amid the daily annoyances and slightings of a missionary life, and have not the love that yields its rights, its leisures, its pet plans, I am nothing. Virtue has ceased to go out of me. If I can heal all manner of sickness and disease, but wound hearts and hurt feelings for want of His love that is kind, I am nothing. If I write articles or publish books that win applause, but fail to transcribe the word of the cross into the language of His love, I am nothing. May these paraphrase statements of charity provoke us to love and to good works. Verse 21 of Romans 12 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Barnes commented, "Be not vanquished or subdued by injury received from others. Do not suffer your temple to be excited, your Christian principles to be abandoned, your mild, amicable, kind, and benevolent temple to be ruffled by any opposition or injury which you may experience. Maintain your Christian principles amidst all opposition, and thus show the power of the gospel. They are overcome by evil, who suffer their temple to be excited, who become enraged and revengeful, and who engage in contention with those who injure them." There's this story. Legend has it that a wealthy merchant traveling through the Mediterranean world, looking for the distinguished Pharisee called Paul, encountered Timothy, who arranged a visit. Paul was at the time a prisoner in Rome. Stepping inside the cell, the merchant was surprised to find a rather old man, physically frail, but whose serenity and magnetism challenged the visitor. They talked for hours. Finally, the merchant left with Paul's blessing. Outside the prison, the concerned man inquired, "What is the secret of this man's power? I've never seen anything like it before." "Did you not guess?" replied Timothy. "Paul is in love." The merchant looked bewildered. "In love?" "Yes," the missionary answered. "Paul is in love with Jesus Christ." The merchant looked more bewildered. Is that all? Smiling, Timothy replied, that is everything. That is everything. May God's Christ's love so fill our hearts that we may consistently overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. We must not allow evil to overcome our hearts so that we respond evil with evil. To Christians are these words given in Galatians chapter 5. Paul said to the church in Galatia, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke. God has made us free. Free us from the yoke of violence. Free us from the yoke of inflicting pain upon others. And here, Paul is urging the people of God to exercise their freedom. Do not go back to the old way. This, I say, Paul speaks to the church, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here the text tells us that you will never fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, you will not. You will not fulfill. In other words, it is the strongest negation of an event ever happening in the Greek language. It will not happen. If you would walk in the Spirit, if you let the Spirit to lead you, if you yield to the Spirit of God, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So Paul tells the believers that are not standing fast but are entangled in their old sin, he tells them to start living in the freedom that Christ has won for them. Start living in that freedom. They are to choose to walk with God and to obey His will. Walk means to make progress in their spiritual life. It is a command. Right? We are to do so continuously. In short, we have to make a choice each time the Holy Spirit prompts us of the carnality of the flesh, seeking to overwhelm us to say no. Right? You are in that battle. Dear friends, you are in that battle. And it is very real. It's inside you. That battle is inside you. And God wants you to overcome by His Spirit. So He tells you, walk in the Spirit. Yield yourself to the Spirit. Obey the voice of God, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This verse is giving to us a promise that when you depend on the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have been freed from the bondage of sin by your faith in Jesus Christ's finished work, and He has given you this freedom. Before your salvation, we are not able not to sin. After your salvation, you are able not to sin. You can choose not to sin. You can choose to say no. And you have to exercise this choice for your spiritual benefit. Dear friends, do so. God will bless you. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. When you choose holiness, when you choose sanctification, when you choose to make progress spiritually, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. the sense of the tense is that you will not begin to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is volitional. It appeals to our will and to our mind. We have to exercise this freedom that Christ has given to us to say no to the flesh. You know the effects of gravity. Right? We all know what gravity does. Right? It pulls us to be earthbound. Then how does a hot air balloon overcome the gravitational force and fly? How does a hot air balloon overcome the gravitational force and able to fly? Well, the same for the jet plane. The propulsion of air from the engine at high speed gives it the lift to overcome the force of gravity to enable it to fly. The Holy Spirit is that hot air in the balloon that helps the balloon to overcome the forces of gravity. Realize that the Holy Spirit's power is a supernatural power. We have to rest in the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the flesh. The Word of God tells us, try holding a book by your own strength for a while to overcome the force of gravity. How long can you hold? After a while, you get tired. You will not last relying on your own strength. That is the Christian life. We will not last relying on our own strength. The believer's power with God enables us to live that supernatural life. The believer's power with God comes with prayer. If you take time to pray, take time to be immersed in the Word of God so that whenever a temptation comes, the Word of God will provide you through the Spirit the strength to overcome, to say no. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit within you, that is how Jesus overcame the temptation in the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights he was anhungered. Christ overcame with the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Remember when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, turn this stone to bread. Right? In the wilderness, there are a lot of pebbles, you know, a lot of pebbles on the ground. He's hungry, haven't eaten for 40 days, 40 nights. Right? A man will almost die by now. And what he did was he tempted. And the Lord says, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The believer's power with God comes with prayer. The Apostle Paul tells the believer not to retaliate with evil when we are suffering wrong. God's love is at work in the believer's life, enabling him to overcome. This is the true test of holiness. How will we respond? May God help us to bear the Spirit's fruit by His grace. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Strengthen us by Thy grace and enable us by Thy Holy Spirit to walk with Thee. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.